Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I picked a good servant of God to talk about today. Just a few notes, nothing serious. So it may be a little long, because he did a lot. So I hope you're ready for the long haul. No, not really. I did get a call from Jim Jenkins this morning, and Betty is now back with her daughter in the Columbus area. So, and if things go well, she will be back with us maybe in a couple weeks. So please keep praying for her. She seems to be doing real well. Jim said she sounds better and better. So hopefully they're going to find out if she should be on insulin or what was going on. So just keep her in your prayers. Well, today I have a few questions for you. I'm going to tell you about a person. I want to know if you can figure it out before I get to the answer, and hopefully I've given you enough hints that you will know who I'm going to be talking about. Today, the person I've chosen to speak about was one of Moses told to choose men to go out and fight the Amalek. He is also mentioned as Moses' assistant and servant. He also was one of the 12 spies sent out by Moses, about on the other side. I'm sure you figured out by now who I'm talking about. It's pretty easy. It was Moses' assistant, Joshua. So let's turn with me to Exodus 17. We'll read Exodus 17, 8 to 15. Turn to 18 to get back one more. Sorry about that. In verse 8 it says that now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephaim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And as you know, as long as they held up Moses' arm, they were winning. And if they didn't, then Israelites started losing. So they had to hold his arms up the whole time that they had the war. And, of course, the Israelites finally won. Now, he's also mentioned in Exodus 35:11 as being the servant. I got the wrong verse there. Better get my glasses on too, it'd help. I must have wrote it down wrong. Let me see. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. I also had Numbers 14:6-9 too, I think, but that's the 12 spies. Okay. Yeah, in verse 11, thank you, in chapter 33. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Now, as you know, he was one of the 12 spies that went out. And that's in Numbers 14:32-39. And we'll read about the report that they brought back compared to the others. Because that's very important on why God would choose Joshua and also Caleb to go into the new land. Because they were over the 20-year age limit that was allowed to go in. Because of their sins, Israelites were not allowed to go into the promised land because of rebellion. Let's go back up to verse, I'll read the whole thing about, let's go back to verse 20, 14:20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. He's talking to Moses. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because of these men who have seen my glory and signs, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to test now. 10 times have not heeded my voice. In other words, they rebelled 10 times. In our situation, it'd be rebellion or a sin that we would do. So God remembered 10 times during the 40 years, or the years they were in. And certainly they shall not see the land in which I swear to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it, but my servant Caleb. Because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit. Now, verse 38, it says, But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. And then we turn over Now, as you saw there back there, as we was talking, Joshua was a son of Nun. And he was a hero for God because of his obedience and loyalty. Joshua anointed by Moses to be the leader after Moses dies. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31, 1 to 8 and 24. In verse 7, verse 2, it says, Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Moses was trying to encourage Joshua, because he'd been training him for all these years, almost 40 years, that he's in the wilderness. And he's going to be the new leader in time to come. And if you turn with me to Joshua 1, you'll see the Lord does the same thing. It says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all the people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And then again in verse 9 he says, let's go back to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as you see, God was encouraging Joshua to go forward. Can you imagine, even though you have been in second command, and then all of a sudden you're put in command of the great God's family, the Israelites. You know, I'm sure that Ron, when he was made the pastor, realized he knew some, but there's a lot of things he had to learn yet. And that's exactly what Joshua knew, and he was probably saying, whoa, can I do this job? You know, I've been with Moses, yes, but. And God was saying, yes, you can. I'm with you. I'll take care of you. No matter what happens, I will be with you and I'll guide you as long as you obey. Now in Joshua 5:10-14, kind of an interesting thing here. In verse 10 it says, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that when they finally start their first conquest, it's right after Passover. And at the same time as we read down here, and they ate the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread, and parched grain at the very same day. Then the mammon ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna for their food. But they ate the food of the land of the Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or our adversary? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord. Commander of the army of the Lord. Have now come, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to this servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua did exactly what he was supposed to do when he became commander of the Israelites. He kept the law of God, and remember he told him to read it, know it, and do it, basically. And you know, that's exactly what you and I have been told. Just the exact same thing, because as you see, we also are coming out of this world. As Joshua was coming out of the world, to the world that God wanted him to have. And that was the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He promised to give to them, and now he was fulfilling that promise to the Israelites. And the only reason they hadn't got there sooner was why? Was because they'd been rebellious. And because of the rebellion, those who rebelled were not allowed to go into promised land, so they had to wander in the wilderness for approximately 38 to 40 years. so none of them would be able to come over, and they'd have young ones who were 20 and under who would be able to come into the land. At the time that Joshua came into the land, he was about 80 years old. And, you know, it wasn't shortly after that when he was going, Moses died at 120, and he'd been leading him for that many years. So Joshua was about ready to take over about the same time that Moses took over at the beginning when he brought him out of Egypt. So there's a lot of parallels in a lot of ways. Now in chapter 6, we've all know about Jericho. And this is, you know, this is what is coming after you read about the commander. And they were told what to do. They were told that they were to what? Go around the city 7 days. Not to do anything, but go around. They were led by the priest and that. And then on the seventh day, they were to what? To go around and shout. And let the Lord God take care of it. So can you imagine these people walking around, but they never complained. You never hear a word about them complaining. And they were to see the mighty power of God working with them and for them, backing up what Joshua would be telling them, that God was with them and for them and would take care of them. Because when he was ordained by Moses, that's exactly what they were doing, that he would take over where Moses was at and would lead, guide, and direct them. But it wasn't too long after that that they had a little bit of a problem. It worked out beautiful. Jericho fell. They went in, but they weren't allowed to take some stuff, right? They weren't allowed to take the gold and the silver and stuff. They were not to have it. They were to give it to. So what they happened was that they had someone who committed a sin. Back in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the cursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zariah of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." Now, nobody knew this, but Achan. And so they went out to take over the city, Ai, and they were pretty confident because they'd seen what God had done for them in Jericho. And when they came through the country, they'd spied out and returned and told Joshua they didn't need that many people. They had a bigger army. So in verse 4 of that chapter, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. They got beat. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the distant. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Now, you can imagine, after being on a high, and everything that Joshua had told you was going perfect. He was your leader. And all of a sudden, they get beat by this Ai. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? In verse 8. Well, verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" And what did the Lord say to Joshua in verse 10? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Sometimes that's what he has to say to you and I. Get up. Get moving. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. What do I need to do? What needs to change? And he told him, says, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded you. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. So because of one man and family, Israel was having to pay the penalty. Turn with me over to verse 22 on 7:22. So Joshua went about to find out immediately where this sin had taken place and who had done it. Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in the tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and son of Zerah, and silver, the garment of wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley Achor. And Joshua said, why you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You think that put fear into the Israelites? It would me. It sure make me think twice, that's for sure. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor, or Trouble, the Valley of Trouble. So as you see, God doesn't put up with sinning. That's what he tells us. He tells us we're not to sin. Sin's a transgression of his law. And we see what happened when they sinned there and tried to deceive. They brought stuff upon Israelites that didn't have to be. Now also they learned another lesson here shortly. And they went to the fall of Ao. Which was the next city they came to. So they went back and they destroyed it. I was destroyed after what they'd done before, but it was only after the sin was removed from Israel, the Israelites. And when they got to the end, let's go to 8:23. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai, in the field, in the wilderness, where they purchased them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched over the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. Now I wonder if maybe They learned a lesson, and they only did what Joshua said that God told them to do. I'm sure they did. So Joshua, in verse 20, and Joshua burned Ai and made a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God Israel in Mount Ebal. And Moses, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, the altar of whom whole stones are which no man has welded or iron tooled, and they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. So he brought them back to remembering God's laws. He showed they were destroyed because they had broken God's laws, but he redeemed them through the death of the king of Ai and them and the people that he destroyed. So he showed he was leading them, but they had to be loyal to God and they had to do as God said. But there again, being humans, in chapter 9, it talks about they made a treaty with Gideonites. In verse 3, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai what he had done, they were afraid. Think about it. They worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. I wonder who inspired that. You don't think it's the same devil that you and I have to face all the time trying to find a way to break our armor? They worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors, and they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wine skins tore and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread, their provisions were dry and moldy. Now, this is true deception, wouldn't you say? Very good job of it, though, if you're trying to do that, but real deception. And he went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Another lie. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. In other words, they wanted to have a treaty because they'd seen what had happened to these other cities, and they certainly didn't want to be destroyed like they were. So they were a cunning people, very smart. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivatites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can you make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, oh, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where did you come from? So they said to him, from a very far country. Your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did in the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan. So Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Astoreth. Therefore our elders and all of the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for your journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. This bed of ours we took hot for our provisions from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins which we filled were new, and see, they are torn. And these are our garments, and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of the provisions, but they did not ask counsel of God or of the Lord. That's sometimes what you see happens to anybody, we included. Things go well, and we start not asking the right questions. So we get, what would you take? Snooker, they call it. Somebody's able to snooker you or get you to do something you shouldn't do that gets you in trouble. And I'm sure we've all done it one time or another in our lives. But it is amazing how this whole nation or the city did this and how they played it out and how they avoided answering questions, lying here and there, but keeping the story pretty good and true, see? In verse 15, so Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the ruler of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of the 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shepharah, Bethroth, and Kirjath, Jearim, I'm not good at the names. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. They couldn't do anything because they had sworn by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them. Because they had lived by their oaths at that time. And the ruler said to them, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation as the rulers had promised them. Then Joshua called to them, and he spoke to them, saying, why have you deceived us, saying, we are very far from you, and you dwell near us? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves. Woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. So they answered Joshua and said, because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you, therefore we were very much afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. This is why they did their sin. And now, here we are in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do to us. They owned up to what they'd done and told them whatever they did was fine with them. So he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, so they did not kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of God in the place which he would choose even to this day. Now they accepted what they got. They accepted. Now I'm going to skip around just a little bit more. And I'm going to take you over to one you've surely you memorized or read to your kids and how exciting it was where the sun stood still for 24 hours. And that's over in chapter 10. They were fighting a war. And Joshua spoke to the Lord that day in verse 12, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still. Over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. And the sun didn't go down for about a full day. That's the power of our God. That's the power of the God of Israelites. And they understood the power. And they saw the works of God. And I'm sure they became more feared and knew that they need to live the life and to follow Moses and do what Joshua, that God had told Joshua to do, and they would do as Joshua told them. Joshua had quite a job. He was given a lot of responsibility to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt with Moses. And then he became the leader as they came over. He had to get the territories for the tribes. He took care of all that. He set up their priest, you know. And he had to decide many things, but he made all the cities. And he also gave the sanctuary cities, which is something that if we had today, our jails and stuff wouldn't be so full. And whenever there was a real sin, someone killed someone and it was an accident or something, they wouldn't be in jail for 20 years because the people they killed died immediately and they got to live. It shows if we would live by what God had told the Israelites, you know, that we wouldn't have these problems. Let's go to the city of refuge. It's in Joshua 20. And the Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint you yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenge of the blood. And when he flees to one of these cities, that stands at the entrance of the gate of the city, and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them." In other words, he had made a mistake. He had an accident. And he killed someone. They gave him a place to live. In other words, they didn't put him in jail. They gave him a city. These were cities they had to take care of themselves. The taxpayers don't pay for him. It's kind of a different system. "Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into the hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until the stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days." So until the high priest died, he was in that city, which is basically like a jail, but it's a city. It's not just one little thing. And they're doing good. They're working. "Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled." So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and the mountain of Naphtali, Shechem and the mountains of Ephraim and Kirga, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho, Israel, they assigned more cities. But you see, God made provisions for everyone. And if we live by God's laws now, what a difference this world would be. But Joshua instigated, was the one who put in all these. He did what God said. He set it all up. And when he was done, he had been there just about 30 years. And in chapter 24, Joshua says basically goodbye to him. Verse 1, "Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for the heads, for the judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah and the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river old times, and they served our other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaiah.'" And then he goes down and says, then I brought, in verse 6, and then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers and chariots and horsemen of the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwell in the wilderness a long time. It brings back the remembrance about what was going on. And down to verse 13, we'll go there. It says, I have given you a land for your, which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwelt in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river. And in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We must have the same type of conviction all of our lives, that we're going to serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Then go down to verse 22. I'm going to skip through this a little bit. So Joshua said to people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it upon there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountain of the Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in the hill belonging to Phinehas, his son, and was given to him in the mountain of freedom. So as you see, all the years, the 30 years that Joshua served God as a leader of the Israelites, they had it made as long as they served and obeyed and did what he said. But they made mistakes. They went away. But he brought them back. And every time they did something, you saw, he would bring them back to God's words, the tablets, the laws, so that they would know that they had sinned. And if you read Joshua, it's amazing how that God did exactly what he told Joshua he would do. Exactly what he said. So with that, let's go back to Joshua 1 again, where he was encouraging him. He did exactly what he said. And Joshua took hold of what God had said to him, and he did it. In verse 1, we'll start with, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying. Now, I wonder if this was the first time he spoke to Joshua directly. I don't know. Doesn't say. But that would have to be quite an experience if he hadn't heard from him before. But he told him, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. We can take that to our hearts too. God will never leave us or forsake us. He never changes. We're the ones who change. We're the ones who fail. We're the ones who get deceived. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide in an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Then in verse 8 he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we can see why Joshua will be a hero of God's and be one that we can look up to as one who followed God, obeyed God, led God's people, and he stayed close to God and received the blessings from God as being the leader of the Israelites. You and I have that same promise from God. So we need to follow the example of Joshua as we do our daily lives, making sure that we're reading and studying God's word, making sure we're putting God first in our lives. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things will be added to you. He tells us that these things be added to us will be what? We will be there on trumpets when Christ returns and will be a part of his eternal family. God loved Joshua for his service and obedience. God loves you and me and wants us to be just like Joshua, being one who obeys and does his will and will be with him for eternity.